Today's reading is taken from Luke chapter 8. It begins on page 1038 of the Church Bibles. It's Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how he had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us now to understand your word, and more than understanding it, to be changed as we meet you in it. We ask in your holy name. Amen. So what a lot of people there are in that Bible reading this morning. So I've created some little pictures just to help us keep things straight in our minds as we sort of think about them moving around and all the places they were and where they went and what happened. And I'm going to need some help from Becca to put the pictures up. And hopefully this string hasn't got tangled since yesterday. No, we're good. We're good. Did you know there's a hook there? It's really handy. Just the same height as the screw in the wall over there. Anyway, so we'll need your help. And there's some clothes pegs, which you'll need to hang them up. Okay. And we don't need that yet. Okay. So, these are not anatomically accurate. We got Jesus, and we got a crowd. Could you put the crowd up? We got quite a big crowd. I really enjoyed sticking the eyes on these. bit further over this way, I think. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's about as far as we'll go in that direction. There's a big crowd, so there's two sets of them. Like I say, no resemblance to any individual living or departed is. Well, there certainly isn't any resemblance, whether it was intended or not. And then there's Jesus. You pop him up. So Jesus has been away doing what Karen was talking to us about last week, the healing of the demon-possessed man. He's come back into town, and the crowd comes to greet him, and he's almost getting crushed by the crowd. And as was very often the case when Jesus was going about from place to place, there were people who needed his help, people who came to him hoping that he could sort things for them. We got a man called Jairus. Big eyes. Well, maybe you could put Jesus between the crowd. That might be better, mightn't it? Yeah, if you they should just slide along, you see. We tried that yesterday just to make sure it would work.
Right.
Yeah, so Jesus is being a bit crushed by the crowd.
You're going to regret asking me to help you.
I am, aren't I? Yeah. It seemed like, you know, rector should be a safe pair of hands. There's Jairus. Let's get him up as well. Jairus is a ruler of the synagogue.
Where's Jairus going?
Why don't you put him about? Because he's sort of on his way to meet Jesus. He's an important man, somebody with some authority in that community, somebody with a bit of status, somebody people would look up to. I don't imagine he really had a blue bow tie, but that gives you just a little picture of, you know, the sort of place in the community that he had. But his daughter is at home, and I think we'll put her right over this end, if we may. She is in bed, unwell, sick. She's dying, actually. Are we still on this? There we go. Well done, Rob.
Yeah.
She's at home. She's not with the crowd. She's at home in bed, sick and dying. And so Jairus, with all his, you know, important community roles, his status, being looked up to by people, actually none of those things are going to help him, or more importantly, his daughter. Her illness is something that is beyond this man's control. And that's going to be a really, really worrying, unsettling situation for the family. But he comes. Well, you've pegged these on a bit too well, haven't you?
I'm never going to be asked.
He comes to Jesus. And Jesus actually... That one? No, both? Ooh, okay. And Jesus is going to start to come with Jairus. And they're going to start to go on their journey. Actually, I imagine the crowd are still following, but they're pegged up too firmly. Let's not worry unduly about that. Jesus is coming along with Jairus to see what the situation is with the daughter. But along the way, they encounter a woman. You got some more clothes pegs?
Yes.
A woman. Let's put her... Yeah. Let's stick her here for now.
I won't peg her on too well.
Thank you. There's a woman who has been bleeding for years, and no doctor can make her better. And she's actually staying just a bit away from people because her illness actually means more for her than just being unwell. In their Jewish faith and culture, there was a lot of emphasis about ceremonial rules, about what was clean and what was unclean. And because of her illness, she hasn't just been unwell. She hasn't just been unwell for 12 years. She's been an outcast in that time. Maybe we should have put her right at the end. It doesn't matter. Don't move her now. But she's been an outcast for that time. She's somebody you avoid, somebody who has to sort of stay on the edge of things, on the edge of society. She is far less important in their society than Jairus is. But they both need Jesus, and they both come to him for help. Neither of them can sort out their difficulties by themselves. She has spent years on the edge, in the shadows, just hoping to be healed one day. But she's heard about Jesus, and she hopes and she trusts that he can help. And so she comes up and she sort of touches the edge of Jesus' cloak and is healed instantly. Now, that's actually a big thing for her to do, even trying to do it secretly without anyone noticing. It's a big risk. I mean, she could easily end up making Jesus and other people around him unclean as well, or it could just end up being all really embarrassing if she's rumbled, if her plan is sort of rumbled and people realize what's going on. But she's healed. Instantly, Jesus was willing and able to heal her as she'd hoped. Now, it turns out what she can't do is just sort of sneak in, get what she wants from Jesus, and sneak off again, and nobody's any the wiser. That's not what Jesus has in mind here. And so we have this whole "who touched me" thing from Jesus, and the disciples think he's being a bit crazy, but he persists with it, and Jesus and the woman meet properly. And her story gets told. She explains what's happened, they talk, and Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." "Your daughter has healed you." Let's put it next to the woman, because that's what's said to her. You popped them out there?
Yeah.
We're going to need Jesus in a minute to keep on going with Jairus, but we'll come to that. "Your faith has healed you," is what Jesus says to her. "Go in peace." And actually, I've got some extra bits here. Yeah. The woman, you'll find there's some double-sided tape on the back, and you can apply that smile to her mouth. Really enjoyed the prep for this sermon. That is better. But back to Jairus. Let's move the crowd across a bit. Let's have Jesus. Sorry, can I? Because Jesus is going to go with Jairus now. Jairus still looks sad. And in fact, things for him go from bad to worse. A message comes for him. It is too late. Here's the message that he receives. Perhaps you could pop that next to Jairus. We might need to shuffle some people along a bit. Let's have it here. And what is the message? "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher." And here's the thing. This bit, "your daughter is dead," that is absolutely true. Big fat green tick. It's true. But this bit, "don't bother the teacher," that does not follow. They think that because the daughter is dead, then, you know, the whole thing's, there's no point in carrying on. And they're wrong. They are wrong. Just because this is true doesn't mean that that follows. That's not the right conclusion. It's really easy for us to think wrongly that God wouldn't want us bothering him. Maybe for some of us, we think our problems actually are too small for God to be interested in, so we don't bother him. Or maybe we don't ask because we think our problems are too big, too insoluble for Jesus to help. Actually, I wonder if either of those was partly why the woman just tried to sneak up and touch his cloak rather than bother him properly. That was certainly what the messenger from Jairus' house thought, but Jesus is willing to help them both. Their social standing doesn't matter. Jairus is important. The woman, on the other hand, much less so. Jesus helps them both. And it doesn't matter either how desperate their situations are. Jesus says to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. And we have a sign of that too. Don't be afraid, just believe. Why don't you pop it here? Yeah. You see, there's another thing that these two people have in common. They have faith. The woman was told, your faith has healed you. Jairus is told, don't be afraid, just believe. Jesus' help is willingly given to those who come to him in faith, believing that he's good and that he cares, no matter who they are and their background. However bad the situation, even if we think he won't want to bother with us, the key is that faith. So let's get back to Jairus. Jesus goes to the house. Ah, we've blocked ourselves into a corner again, haven't we? Can we do a little bit more rearranging? And he takes with him James, Peter, and John. So let's have Jesus. Let's shuffle these along there, sort of out of the story now. Let's have Jesus. Yeah. And let's have... You need even more clothes pegs. But these are the last ones, okay?
Where would you like James, Peter, and John?
Next to Jesus.
Okay, great.
That'll do fine. Jesus goes to the house. He takes Peter, James, and John, and the parents in with him. And we've left the crowd to one side now. The crowd are out of the picture. We just have those who've gone in to see the girl. Let's think for a moment about that meeting. It's much smaller now. It's much more personal. Jesus goes in and he spends time with the family. He cares about their needs. There's been a whole lot of emotion, of upset, of grief. And Jesus adapts his approach accordingly. The crowds are staying outside now. Jesus wants to spend time with the people who are most closely involved. And he says to the girl, my child, get up. And her spirit returns and she stands up. And I don't think I can make her stand up in the picture, but Becca does have a more cheerful mouth and some stick-on eyes. And there's a smile for Jairus as well. And there's joy in that place because of what Jesus has done. I did try to start the peeling of the backing on the eyes, but it's quite a lot more difficult to get off, isn't it?
I think we're there.
While you do that, we'll think about the woman from earlier. Because her idea had been to just touch Jesus and be healed and to melt back into the shadows. But Jesus didn't work that way for her. He couldn't just dispense his blessing and let her go without saying anything. Jesus had looked for her and got her story told, because Jesus, for her as well, he wants a relationship, not just a fleeting transaction. God's blessing isn't like one of those sort of contactless payment cards where you sort of tap and go and you're better. Tap and go. Jesus wants to meet her. He wants to reassure her. He wants to make sure actually that the people around know about her healing so that the stigma is properly gone from her life. He understands her personal needs, just like he did actually with Jairus and his family. Their needs were different, but Jesus understood them both. Jesus wanted to meet her and reassure her. And the lesson for us here is this. when we come to Jesus, when we come to him in faith, come expecting it to be a life-changing relationship. When we come to Jesus for forgiveness and a new start in life, come expecting him to become a key, inseparable part of our lives. And expecting that when we have him in our lives, all the other priorities in our lives are going to shift around and change because Jesus is here now. When we come to him with our own particular needs, when we come to him in prayer, come expecting not just that Jesus will tap his celestial contactless card and make things better in an instant, but that he'll come and listen and be alongside us and become part of our lives as our lives now play out differently because he's there with us. A personal encounter with someone who understands and cares and steps into our lives. Jesus is inviting you and me and all of us to come to him in faith. Whoever we are, whatever our background, whether or not we feel that our problems are things that Jesus ought to be interested in, he wants us to come to him in faith, as these people did, and to come expecting a life-changing encounter and relationship. Amen.
Amen.